Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. As you may have heard, we just celebrated our 70th church anniversary. Our nightly services, March 14th through 16th, featured the Reverend Dr. Jarvis Collier, Senior Pastor of the Pleasant Green Baptist Church in Kansas City, Kansas. Our celebration culminated on Sunday, March 18th, with the return of Reverend Maverick Gayden, Senior Pastor of the Pilgrim Valley Missionary Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. The podcast for his sermon titled Lemonade can be found on our website at www.stpaulsac.org. This message is from our Wednesday night service, which Dr. Collier titles, It Don't Take All of That. And if you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verses 14 down through 23. Let's now go into the auditorium and join this powerful worshiping experience already in progress.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we honor you. It is your love that makes all the difference. We're here tonight because of your grace. You look beyond every one of our faults, and you saw our need. 70 years of praise, 70 years of worship. How we bless you for a leader who has guided us as a church family and been a leading voice 4+ decades in one spot. And we give you the glory for St. Paul, and we give you the glory for Pastor Williams. Thank you, O Lord, for the celebration of 70 years. In you, O Lord, we have found a safety place. And we ask that you would speak these nights, lift up the name that is above every name, even the name of Jesus. And, O Lord, let me decrease that the true preacher Christ would increase. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Save someone tonight. Restore someone. Add someone to the family. Build up every believer and do it all in the powerful name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Dr. Williams, to my colleagues who share the preaching ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, to you, my brothers and sisters in the family of God, what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord, and in particular, St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church of Sacramento, California. I say ditto to the words of Dr. Williams, the only church in California. And we praise the Lord. I was born and reared in Los Angeles, and over the years I've had the utmost respect and appreciation for Dr. Williams. He has always been a godly man, quiet, dignified, says what he means what he says, and has follow-through. There are a lot of people who say things, and even when he said, I'm going to bring you to St. Paul next year, not that I didn't believe in him, but I've been preaching 40 years and I've heard I'd be on the road every week if every minister who said he was going to invite me invited me. I'm on the road about once a month, but I'd be on the road 40 times in a year, about 10 or 12. They say more at our church, but I think they exaggerate. But Dr. Williams, thank you. And then when he invited me, I went ahead and accepted so that if he meant somebody else, couldn't go back on it. I'm sure his letter of invitation was coming and my letter of acceptance was already at St. Paul. I thank the Lord, and I tell you, all the staff, I want to thank God for them. Brother Lamont Harris, amen. Wonderful brother. And I speak of him because, and I'm gonna get to the message, but I want to point out Brother Lamont Harris was a part of our church in Los Angeles, my first church. I started at 22, and his father was one of the good deacons of our ministry, and he went home to be with the Lord a few months ago, but we praise the Lord. He has good parents, St. Paul, and he's had a good pastor from early on. So whatever Lamont has learned here, he got his start in Los Angeles. But Dr. Williams, thank you again, being our state president of California State, and just tremendous. I open up the newspaper, and if something is happening in California, Dr. Williams and St. Paul are leading voices in that effort. I take these moments because I want to allow you to look at me, look me over. Does it sound like I'm a good preacher? Pastor just brought him because he was like a protege, and Dr. Williams was a mentor. So you take a moment. I might look like a nephew. I might look like a grandson. And I'm, while you're looking at me wondering if I'm able to preach the word, I'm wondering if you're able to say amen. So once we get our bearings, now our real preacher will be here on Sunday. But if you can put up with me these next few nights, I won't be long. I'll tell you as Elizabeth Taylor told 8 husbands, I won't keep you long. But I do want to be obedient, and I thank God for the hospitality and all of those who worked very hard to make all of the arrangements. Thank you so much, all of our brothers who have been kind to me, and I thank the Lord. I've decided I'm not going home. I'm going to just stick around St. Paul and find something to do, sweep some floors or something. But all of your kinfolks in Kansas City, and especially the Kennedy family, they all give their love and ask me to say God bless you to you as a church family. Amen. I'm certainly no stranger to Sacramento, but I do want to get to the word. 2 Samuel, Old Testament, book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We all stand together. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, 2 Samuel chapter 6. And the word of the Lord reads, beginning with verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David, Jerusalem, with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of meal, of bread, and one of dates, and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. But when David returned to bless his own house, behold, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of the servants as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will be more highly, lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." And the daughter of Saul had no child to the day of her death. I read a number of verses, but I want to speak from the subject, it don't take all of that. Immediately, I need to tell you that Dr. Williams alluded to some of the preparation that God has allowed me to add to my life. So I am well aware of the fact that we rightly should say it doesn't take all of that. But in the vernacular, as how we express ourselves, this statement, "it don't take all that," is many times uttered by persons who believe that our worship, our praise is too loud, too long, too exuberant, too emotional. And they would say to you, even as you celebrate 70 years of God's faithfulness, now maybe a hallelujah, maybe a thank you, Jesus, maybe a raised hand. But after a little while, they will say, "Now, it just doesn't take all of that." Mm-hmm. A little bit, fine, but when you go overboard. Now, I need to throw a few things early into the message. Most of the praise monitors are not telling unsaved people it doesn't take all of that. They don't go to the club. I'm sorry, maybe no one has ever heard of the nightclub, but they don't go to the nightclub and an individual comes out inebriated and they say to them, "Now that's enough. Now last week you went, it just doesn't take all of that." Dr. Williams alluded to it. They don't go to the arena and you had a wonderful team before one was traded away. But you still pack out the Arco Arena. But they don't go there and see 20,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs and say, "Now, it just doesn't take all of that." Implicit in going into the arena is, "I'm going to shout for the team." And whether or not they win is not the issue. Well, let me try this one. I've seen people who talk back to a television. I'm sorry, wait. Cookie, he ain't no good. He's just gonna hurt you again. Lucius, you know Cookie was there with you when you were building up. I'm sorry. Everybody has emotions. It's the venue wherein you pour out your emotions. The idea here is that there are some self-appointed praise monitors, and they want to tell people how much they ought to praise God, how much they ought to worship God. Now, I will acknowledge that some people, and I want to give some exemptions tonight, so that you'll understand everybody in this audience does not need to praise God. Here are the exemptions. If you were born with a trust fund, you don't need to praise God. If you've never had a bill that needed to be paid and you didn't have resources for it and God supplied it, you don't need to praise Him. If you've never been on a sick bed and God raised you off that sick bed, then you're exempt. If you've never had a child to break your heart and then God soothed your heart by recognizing that I love that child and he or she has to go through a period of foolishness, and then at that time, at the appropriate time, God will bring that child back to his or her senses. If that has never happened in your life, you're exempt. If you've never bought something and didn't have the resources and yet God sustained you, it's called a house, it's called a vehicle, it's called paying children's tuition, then you're exempt. Because what I'm talking about says that God has to make a way. And when God makes a way, the automatic option is hallelujah. Glory. 70 years of God's faithfulness. I don't want to be mean, but now you've not always been in this building. But God took you from one building to another, and Pastor will acknowledge, will share the vision on Sunday morning, and then you go in Sunday night, and then you pay it off that Sunday night. But that has been a process. I've watched and I've seen him with quiet leadership just say, we're going to build a family life center. It's going to cost us, I'll throw out a figure, $10 million, and all of you rush and bring him $10 million, and he says, we're going to burn the mortgage in about 15 minutes. And then he says, now we need some senior housing for our community. And he's not asking the political leadership, even though they are part, he is a part of the family, to give money from Sacramento because there might not be money, but he says it's in the house. That's why you ought to praise him. I'm going to give you the shout early on. It does take all of that. If anyone does not know what God has brought you through, if anyone does not know all of what God has done in your life, then they cannot monitor your worship with God. They were not there when God caught tears that were falling from your eyes. They were not there when you were walking the floor. They were not there when answers were no longer there to be found. They were not there when you felt like giving up. They were not there. You cannot say what it takes for me. You were not there. If you were there, then you'd say, I understand. Now I see. It takes even a little more. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me hold myself. I want to give you a few things. David was consolidating his leadership. The tribes, the 12 tribes, had affirmed him as their leader. David had political power. David had economic strength. David had social leadership. But David didn't have the ark in Jerusalem. First thing I want to talk to you about is the ark. It was a box, acacia wood, overlaid with gold. Cherubim were on